Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in and talk about the topic today, I'll get it out. I'm leaving that in. I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market, bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. We have a special, quote unquote, special going on right now where we're giving quarterly memberships. We're super excited about that. People seem excited about it. And then that maybe come in and join for 3 months and take a couple months off. I personally would never leave teachhoops.com, but you have that option, and it's great. So go over and check it out, teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
Because basketball is kind of secondary. In high school, not every kid is going to go play college basketball.
Right.
I mean, I have one out of 15 kids go.
You know,
and I might have two out of 15. But like next year, I probably only got one that's going to go out of that whole thing. So, like, do I cater to the kid that's going? Yes. But, like, also, like –
right, it's like running a class, though. It's like you don't forget about the kid that's going to Harvard, but you also got to worry about the kid that, like, is trying to graduate high school. Like,
yeah.
It's so, like, you got to
– And so my philosophy is more so – it's more not really just basketball. It's more so life. And so – but from a – basketball standpoint, my philosophy is like I want to be able to free my kids' minds,
right?
I want them to be free thinkers. I want them to be creative, you know. And when you're dealing with smart kids, I mean, kids are very smart if you allow them to be smart. I don't want
to. Well, and you also have to hold them to that high standard. Like, you know, do you want me to hold you to a high standard or not? Like, that's fine. If you don't want me to have expectations for you, tell me that, but I'm going to hold you to a high standard about like being on time and treating people nice. I mean, that's just what I'm going to do. And if you don't, then we have to have a discussion, but.
And I coach every kid differently.
Right.
Like
you can't coach every kid the same. No. You can't.
Like this year is going to be a little bit different because I got a little bit more, you know, soft, mellower freshman coming in. So, like, my demeanor in practice is going to be a little bit different because they're a little bit on the softer side.
Right.
And that don't
they're
make –
they're puppies, man. You don't treat a puppy the same way you treat a seven-year-old dog. They're different.
Yeah. So, I know some kids on my team, like my leading scorer coming back, he's a really good player, really good shooter.
Right.
But – he doesn't handle pressure very well. So, like, I'm not going to go into practice and tell him, hey, I need you to score 35 points today or we're not going to have a chance to win.
Right.
Because if I give him that, he's going to be zero and he's going to be 0-for-30 and he's going to have a very bad game. And then I may not get him back for a while.
Right.
Like, I may not get that confidence back.
Right.
So every kid is different. Like my point guard from last year, I think he's going to be real. I mean, for this upcoming year, he was my sixth man last year, my backup. I think he'll be really good.
Right.
So from a point guard standpoint, like I think I'll be able to do a lot of stuff because he's really good. But I got to coach every kid differently. And yeah. So my philosophy is still kind of, you know, evolving right now. But those are kind of my cores. Like I really want to be able to coach kids to be their own individual. If that makes any sense.
Right. No, I get it. I think that's, that's the, we're all teachers at the end, to be honest with you. We're not like necessarily, what do you think the hardest thing to teach is?
What context?
Whatever context you want. I mean, in life or in basketball. I mean, what do you, I'm asking what's hard. I mean, there's things that I could talk about in my classroom that are hard to teach, but basketball wise, what's the hardest thing to teach?
I think confidence. It's really, I mean, you look at some of these NBA players and a lot of our kids watch NBA, and I try to tell my kids to steer away from that, and even though I think college basketball is kind of in a really weird situation right now because talent level isn't as good, and you're seeing – which I think will help if some of the better basketball players, the one that are ready, like they don't do the one and done. They kind of just go to the G League and kind of migrate from there. Because I think if they do that, you'll see more kids going, you know, 2 to 3, 4 years, and you'll see a lot more investment. And you'll see a better product, even though you won't have the star power. But there could be a Buddy Hield in every class.
Right.
So I try to get my kids to watch a little bit more college.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit more teachable to what we do in high school.
Right. You need a move and a counter move in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need what you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah. No, you don't.
You need a move and a counter move. My best point guard ever, great kid, about 5'9", 5'10", had a move and a counter move and was unstoppable. That's all he needed. Like you don't need the stuff you're seeing on YouTube. You don't need the stuff all the trainers are showing. You need a move and a counter move in high school.
Yeah. Kind of on your thing, like doing my skill training, I really like most of my stuff is coming off of rips and one drill pull up,
mm-hmm.
or one drill between the legs, something like that.
I know
like,
I have a whole theory that the mid range jumper is like this thing that's been lost, and someone's gonna eventually find it because there's openings in the mid range.
Oh yeah, my leading scorer last year shot 60% from mid range. He got most of his shots at the rim. In mid-range, and it opened up everything else for everybody else.
If you can shoot a 12-footer like it's a layup, maybe not quite a layup, but shoot it in the 50-60% range,
yeah.
Oh, my God. You're going to get an open shot.
Yeah, I had a coach last year tell me, and we lost the game, but he said I was as hard as game plan because my kids shot at all three levels really well. And we're attacking the basket a lot more than what you may think. You know, and we got in trouble in our last game of the year last year because we went up against 6'11" kids. So like all of our drives were kind of negated. Because
well, that's what they got. You got to work on that on the runner and the floater, man.
Yeah,
and that's Steve Nash stuff. Yeah.
And that's what with the IQ of my basketball kids. Sometimes they were like, I want to challenge this guy because I feel like I could go get it. I'm like, no, like he has blocked your shot 5 times already. Like do something a little bit different.
Right. And you're not going to the free throw line, so it's not beneficial to get in there because he's blocking you.
They're not calling fouls, and I'm like, well, because he's 6'11". Like, dude, I mean, you gotta go literally attack his body in order to get a foul. Because if you're just up there flinging it up there and hoping it goes in,
right,
you're not gonna give him a call. So, but that falls back on the confidence thing because confidently all year, I mean, we had played a couple bigger kids too. So like, he wasn't the first big kid that we saw. But confidently, all year, we had been able to get there. During that game, I mean, we scored 60 points in the game. Now, granted, we gave them 96 because literally we could not stop the big kid.
Right.
But, I mean, you almost have to
try to turn them over before they get at the half court.
And they have a D1 point guard and a D1 post player. So, like,
you're in trouble.
We were already from a deficit. And the crazy thing about it, we shot 55% from three that game.
Right.
We were 15 for 29.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like we weren't, like, scoring and wouldn't shooting, but, like, our field goal percentage from two was, like, 34%.
Right.
So, I was like, if you could have made some floaters or did some things.
Yeah, you almost needed to slow the game down against a team like that.
Well,
yeah.
we tried everything. Trust me. Like, if you came and watched me, I was sitting like this.
Oh, that's the worst. So those are those are listening right now on the podcast. Coach put it both hands on the side of his face and just kind of, oh my God. Whenever you see a coach do that, because I've done that. I've done that at the state tournament. I've done that like in the state finals. Just sat there gone like, oh my God, there's nothing I can do.
To put in context, so we lost 96-60 in this game. And this kid, this big kid, he actually just got an offer from SMU. I mean, and I'm dealing with NAIA guards, you know, and NAIA is a great level. I played NAIA, like it's fantastic, but there's still a stark difference between NAIA.
Yeah, I hear they're going to one division.
Yeah, they are, which I think is huge. I think it brings them to about over, like well over 200 schools. So, I think it'd be good for everybody just to go one division.
Yeah. NAIA is not real big in Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, we have like 100 schools in NAIA here in the state of Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, and even the ones that moved up to D2 used to be NAIA.
Okay.
So we have a lot of like, which Oklahoma City University, which they used to be really big back in the day. They were D1 at one point in time. They're still NAIA. Oklahoma Christian University is D2. They used to be NAIA. OBU, Oklahoma Baptist University.
I just worry about – I was talking to a coach the other day, and I just worry about the big boy coming and eating them. Like,
it may happen eventually with the current climate.
I know. That's a bigger issue. Is like, can they sustain? Like,
yeah. And some schools can, but –
But you the know, NCAA has a lot of money, and
yeah,
you know.
I think eventually you're going to have. I mean, it's, only the strong is going to survive. Really,
I know.
Over time,
I know. It's not necessarily the good thing, but
yeah. But it put in the context, we lost 96-60. This kid that he just got offered at SMU, 30 points, 22 rebounds, 9 blocks. So like. You take that kid out of the equation, we're right there, you know. But he's 6'11".
You lock him in the bus before he gets off the bus. Yeah.
He's 6'11". We call this guy was 6'3", and we're about 160 soaking wet. So like we had no choice, like we had no chance. Like he just like our kids came out and we started out really good. I think we were 6-2, and then he got his first block. He sent this kid's shot to the moon. And that changed the whole game right there. I think they went on like a 25-2 run after that. And we just kind of scratched and clawed and got it down to about 15 right before halftime. And then we just could never recover after that.
Right.
But, yeah, fourth quarter or third quarter when they went on another run, I literally sat there and I was just like, oh.
I was what kind do of I do? Do you have do you have a coaching moment that we could dive into that would be beneficial for – a coach listening, like a failure, a success, a aha moment, anything like that we could dive into?
I would probably say a decision.
Okay.
I really think that whenever I was at OU and I'm going through, you know, whether to leave, whether to go, you know, whether to break out, and like there were opportunities for me at OU to kind of stay and kind of learn some more. What I would say is if you get an opportunity to learn from some of the best, I mean, granted, I've been blessed to be able to work or be around Dan Hayes, which is the state of Oklahoma's all-time leading school, like wins in coaching. Right. And he's worked with Jim Boeheim and USA Basketball. And so the plethora of knowledge that you can learn from a guy like that. And then you got Lon Kruger, Coach Kruger, and he, you know, his demeanor and how he carries himself on and off the floor. Like you'll never hear anybody say any one bad word about Coach Kruger and how he runs his program.
Right.
I don't believe as a GA, I tapped into those resources enough.
I'm telling you, that's a life lesson. My son's going to go, he's taking a gap year. He's not going to go to school this year. He's going to take a year off because mm-hmm. of the world's coming to an end. But he's going to go next year. He's going to take a gap year. Anyway, I tell him, I said, when you go to college, and I told him this in high school, you have to tap the people that know more than you. Like you're young. People want to help young people. Like yep. If you ask questions, they will help. Like if, you know, when young coaches email me, I respond because I want to help them. Like, I'm an old dog, but I'll help you. I mean, I respond. It's like, it's the same in school. It's the same in college. It's the same when you're taking a new job. Yeah. It's the same when you're a GA. If you would have gone in and asked Coach and he wasn't busy, he would have helped you. He would have sat down and talked X's and O's with you because that's what he loves. Yeah.
And I did that, but like enough. You know, you never
you got to push the envelope. Yes. Yeah.
And you got to know that. And that's why I go to a lot of practices now. Like, I mean, before the pandemic hit, like last summer, I spent a lot of time learning Frank Hayes.
Right.
Because he's here at TU, and I've gotten to know a lot of their staff and stuff like that. But I used to go to a practice 2 days a week.
Right.
You know, and I would try to, you know, obviously I wouldn't necessarily like be all up in their business because they're trying to, you know, get stuff done, but tapping into the resources. And I don't think I did that enough at OU. And not even just with Coach Kruger. I mean, Steve Hinton, who's now a head coach at UTSA. Lou Hill, who was at University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
Right.
You know, down there in Texas. And, you know, and Chris Crutchfield, who was at Arkansas, now at head coach at D2 East Central. So, like, I have a plethora of amazing coaches that were around me, and I don't think I quite did that enough.
I think sometimes when you're young, you think you know more than you know.
Yeah, and I was young and dumb and naive.
No, I mean, I'm dead serious. It's like I've been coaching 30 years. I've won so many games. Yeah. And I think I know less than I did in my 20s. Swear to God. Like, it's like, because now I'm smart enough to know that I don't know everything.
Yeah. But, and as a GA, you kind of just get caught up, like, I need to do this and this and this. I want to be down there helping out the player. Like, yeah, that's great and all, but like you have literally five Final Four or, you know, two Final Four worth of knowledge sitting right in the office.
Right.
And I was one of his, you know, more trustworthy people. I mean, I used to house sit for him
right
all the time when he would go on from these long trips. Yeah. Like, I was there. So like I was about as in as I could be in.
Right.
Still, I didn't.
If you're house sitting with somebody and they come home, you go, hey, coach, man, can we sit and talk hoops for 10 minutes? Shoot. You just watched my house and it didn't burn down. I'll talk hoops with you. What are you talking about? It didn't cost me anything.
And I didn't do that enough. I did it some, but I didn't do it enough because I feel like right now I'm learning things that I should have already learned.
Yeah.
Like how to run a program, how to like and I've been running it really well, but like, there are things that I can do with my program that a lot of other programs.
Well, and this is what I tell people. I said, you got to find a couple mentors. You got to find, I don't care where they are. And they got to be the guy you can call at 2 a.m. They got to be the gal you can call on a Saturday afternoon after a walk and you're freaking out because you don't know what you're doing. It's everybody should have mentors, and you should have, and my theory is you should have different mentors. Mm-hmm. Like you should have, and this is talking about bird walking, but you should have like, I have a financial mentor. Like I go to my brother when I have finance questions because he's got a Harvard MBA and he's really smart and I trust him, but he's my financial guy. I mean, he loves me and all that kind of stuff, but he's my financial one. I have a basketball one. I have a spiritual one. You need multiple ones at multiple levels. And sometimes they overlap, which is great when they overlap. He thinks he knows more basketball than me, and he doesn't. But so he would think he's in the basketball one, but he's really not. I'm not calling him for basketball tips. I'm calling him for financial tips. But no, but I mean, I think that's important. And I think when coaches are young, you don't get narrow, but find mentors. I mean, it's a life thing, I think. It's really a life thing. Make you a better human being, but
I'm trying to re-tap into that too, you know. And I mean, we had a call last night. Carlin Hartman, who was assistant coach at OU, and we had a with Coach Wills from Rice,
right?
And we had a call, and it was more so focused on, you know, being a black coach, which there's not a lot of us out there, especially at the top level. But like how to conduct yourself, how to alleviate this. And he said, he was like, you can call me anytime. Like he gave us the number and all that. He was like, I can't mentor everybody, but I can try my best to give you some advice.
Right. Or direct. So what I have found too is then I can direct you. If I can't do it, I will direct you to someone else that can.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and that's pretty much what he told us. So, I take some of these calls when it's more personalized. I take them. I take out everybody's number, and I sent out a text earlier today because I'm trying to tap in. Because really, truthfully, in the college game, no matter if you're D1, D2, D3, NAIA, it's about who you know.
It's all about who you know. And it's also about talking about like the whole Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. Life changes by one person. One person can change the world, whether you agree that or not. Like if you can affect, it's a math teacher in me. If I can influence in a positive way five people, and then those people can influence five people. That's the thing. You know, you look at back at history, you look at Gandhi, you look at Martin Luther, you look at people that have made influences. It's one person. Now, and people around them. So it's like, that's where I think, you know,
And kind of bird walking with that too, and then we'll get back on subject. Yeah,
that's all right. No, that's all right.
But even then, like I posted something on Facebook the other day, and I was driving through Tulsa, and it was hot. It was about 103, 104 degrees.
Now, that's an average day. That's an average day.
Yeah. And I drove by, and there was a police officer helping out a young Black family. It was a mother and a son. I think she may have been a single mother.
Right.
Hot, changing the tire. And I had posted that about it, and I got some backlash from it. Like, that's a job. That's a police officer's job, yada, yada, yada. I was like, well, it may have been, but in today's climate, you have to do that.
Right.
Like, and it's hot. Like I drove by that woman going 90. Like I was like, I'm not stopping. I gotta give a point A to air conditioning.
Right.
You know, the whole thing I had on my mind.
Right.
You know, and it turned into something a little bit negative. And I was like, no, like what about that one police officer changed the outlook of that one African American lady and her son outlook about how that police officer viewed.
Right. And, well, I'm talking about bird walking. We'll definitely have bird walk on this because I think it's important. Anyway, so, you know, probably half of my team are Black, maybe a little bit more. And we travel all around the country. We see racism all over. And I tell my boys, I mean, when I talk to them, I say, I'm a white male. Trust me. I understand white privilege. I'm a relatively bright person. I know what's going on. But I also see when it happens. And you know what, you know, let's be real about what's happening here. You know, you're being treated different. Here's why. So what can our counter be to that?
Yeah.
But for me to have a discussion with them, I got to call it out and say, hey, I don't know what it's like. I mean, I don't have those discussions with my son about when you're pulled over. I don't, I haven't, I'm white privileged. I realize that. So I said, but you don't live in that world. And I can read about it. I can do that, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But let me help you tell, like, you know, and then they'll start talking and then I stop talking. That's the best part. Cause they'll like, yeah, remember when this, it's like, okay, well, what could you have done there? And what could you have done here? And why do you think that happened? And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You know, what could you have done afterwards and those kind of things. And that's where, you know, I can do my small, like minuscule part to make the world a better place. You know, it's so hard. It's so hard.
And it was so hard for me to deal with that. Cause I was like, I'm trying to give something positive. We live in a negative society. Even when we're talking about, you know, race issues and you're talking about COVID-19, everybody wants to look at the negative. Like look at the positive. Like,
right.
Sometimes, like, you know, because we're going to live in a negative cycle. I'm like, this, I mean, when I talk about the virus or I talk about racism, like, it's been around for years. Like,
right.
I think the first, you know, time. And so I was just like, if I could do my part to spread positivity, maybe somebody else can get something out of it.
Right. Ask the Native Americans in the 1600s when we took all of their land. Like, I mean, it's been going on for a long time, people.
Which in Oklahoma, we gave some of that land back.
Did you?
Oh yeah, yeah. They had a ruling where half of which includes Tulsa area, it's all Native American land. Okay. So, like, pretty much half of his Native American land and the other half is Oklahoma at the okay. moment.
Well, it's all Native American land, people.
Yeah, it is.
Break
it
to you because we –
no. I mean, we literally got – my university really got – I mean, the Boomer Sooner, that's literally, you know, land run, you know.
So, right.
So, I mean, we're a living, you know, testament of that time period.
Of that time period. Oh, I know. All right. Well, I don't know. I mean – again, we're not going to solve the problems of the world, but
no.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I don't get political on these. Vote. There you go. And I was talking to one of my friends. Vote. There's two ways you vote. You vote actually walking into a booth and pulling something. You also vote with your pocketbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a reason the Washington Redskins are changing their name.
Oh, yeah.
And they're changing it because of ting, 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 ting.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think a lot of what can change in the world can be changed with pocketbooks too.
Oh, yeah.
If you stop shopping in places, they.
I mean, you look at even with COVID, you can even look at COVID-19. I mean, they're like, yeah, you got a mass amount of cases everywhere.
Right.
Like you look at some of these places that have been reported to not, you know, report correctly.
Right.
It's a money thing too. Oh, you know, so that
definitely that's a money thing.
That's where it falls into, like, you don't, like, the virus is really not political, but you have aspects of it that can turn into that. So
it all turns back. There's a life lesson for you. I do life lessons with my students every day. Uh-huh. I always tell them, follow the money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every time.
Talking about college athletics.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Yeah.
The Civil War was based on racism and money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was based on we need labor. It was like, oh my God, people, follow the money. Yeah. And that's how you change people's perspective. But anyway, all right. We might this is probably top five for bird walking, but that's good, Coach. I don't
care. There you go.
Bird
walk through the best of them.
So can I. All right. We're gonna end with rapid fire. So rapid fire is me just asking a question and you giving me a quick answer. What's your favorite basketball that you play with? The round ball. What's your favorite ball?
Probably Nike.
Nike. Okay. And why Nike? I haven't had a lot of Nike answers.
I like the grip a little bit.
Okay.
Like, I mean, and I would say the Evo, the new Evo ball, but those things hurt my eyes, even though I like to feel.
that one's becoming more popular, I can tell you that. One word to describe your ideal player.
High IQ.
Okay. One sporting event in the world you could go to, what would it be and why?
World Cup. World Cup more so just the atmosphere. I like the fan atmosphere.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've told this story, but my brother and I were in it would have been 1990, and we were in Italy, and the World Cup was in Italy. We had to literally avoid cities. Yeah. Like, there was one place we were eating. They brought – it was like some little Italian restaurant. I don't know if my brother remembers this. I'll have to ask him. But they brought us our food, and then we didn't see anybody for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Because the game was going on. Italy was playing. It was like, here's your food. Don't talk to us. Like,
I went to a Real Madrid game, and it was like – I went to a Real Madrid game, I think like early – mid-2000s. It was kind of right there in like 2006 whenever I graduated high school. And I went there, and it was just like that. But it wasn't a World Cup, but it was Real Madrid. I think it was a UEFA Champions League, and yeah, it was crazy.
I know I've got two coaches on my staff that love soccer. I tease them about it all the time. It's like, whatever.
My sister coaches a soccer coach, so he talks about soccer all the time.
I know. Your favorite pregame meal?
Spaghetti.
Okay. One thing you do to relax?
Play video games.
Ooh. What do you play?
I mean, I'm more of a sports guy. Like Madden, FIFA.
No Call of Duty, no Fortnite?
No, I try to stay away from violence.
Okay.
But,
okay.
I will with my brother-in-law because he plays Call of Duty, so I will jump on the sticks every now and then.
Fortnite seems to be a big one too right now.
Yeah.
One coaching technique you think is important?
Teaching.
Okay. Yep. I think people forget that all the time. We're teachers first. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
Ooh, man. like, could I kind of so seen and then played against? Can I give you two?
Sure, sure.
Best basketball player I've seen, probably Rodney Clark.
Okay.
He played for Arkansas, and he finished up at Butler. But he was the all-time leading scorer in Oklahoma. Well, one of them. He averaged like 39 points a game. He was fantastic. Played against in the AU tournament, playing against Seth Curry.
He's pretty good. Yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah, averaged like 28 points a game at Liberty his first year. He dotted our eye for like 50 in the AU game.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew about his brother. I was
his
like,
master no, class is really good. If you've watched his master class, it's good.
I'm talking about Seth, not Steph. Seth.
Oh, you're talking about Seth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Steph. Well, they're both
really good. No, no. And Steph is really good too. But like, as far as like just playing against somebody, we played against Seth in the AAU tournament down there in Georgia one year.
Where's he playing now? Where's Seth?
I think he's in Dallas with the Mavs.
I think he is too. I think you're right. Yeah, came from a pretty good lineage.
Yeah, you got good genes.
Yeah,
I mean,
so I don't care. People go, "Oh, he came from nowhere." I go, "What are you talking about? He came when they were talking about Steph." I go, "He didn't come from nowhere. What are you talking about? His dad was an unbelievably great player.
Oh yeah,
he had more training than probably any human being ever. Oh, it's not like he was sitting in a playground in the Bronx with a ball and just him. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, he." Well, and if you want to get real technical, I mean, Oklahoma is very underrated when it comes to basketball. I mean, we've had Blake Griffin. Heck, 40% of the starters from the Philadelphia 76ers are from the state of Oklahoma. Shake Milton and Josh Richardson.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a very, very, very underrated culture of basketball. I mean, you got Trae Young, Blake Griffin. So that's four Oklahoma's right there,
right?
Know, that are in the league, and
yeah, it's like Wisconsin's got like four. I mean, it's like states like us shouldn't have it. It's like
yeah. I mean, we're a football state by trade and baseball more. I mean, we have more baseball.
Oh, I'm sure you have more baseball. We're definitely football.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but football and basketball. I mean, football and basketball is kind of coming up there with the Thunder. It's really rising. So.
Well, we have the best player. Wisconsin has the best player in the world right now, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think Giannis is like, if you're building a basketball player, you build Giannis.
Now, if he could ever shoot.
Well, that's the problem. Hopefully, he's been. The problem is he had a baby. If he works on that part of his game, it's over.
Because if he develops that, he'll be way better than LeBron probably has ever been. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that LeBron James added to his game was a jump shot. So like,
I know. So that's what he's got to work in. I've told people that we should literally give him the state of Wisconsin, not the league. Like,
well, because
here's the title.
If you look back at whenever LeBron lost both the finals to the Spurs and to the Mavs, they played zone and they backed off of him.
Yep, I know.
Now, the second time whenever they played him after they beat us in Oklahoma City, when they played the San Antonio Spurs in 2013 before they got their door blown off of them in 2014.
Right.
Greg Popovich tried to do the same thing, and he couldn't. So yeah. I think if Giannis is going to make that jump, he's got to be able to shoot. Because in the playoffs, all they're going to do is sag off of him.
Right. Yeah. And then he doesn't have the angles to get it to the guys in the corner, like Wes and stuff. I know it's
but everything else he is fantastic. I love watching him.
I mean, he literally, if you're like on like a video game and you're building a basketball player, you build Giannis. Like
if he can add a jump shot, he'll be at a perfect blend between LeBron James and KD, and that'd be the perfect basketball player.
And Kobe a little bit, yeah, I agree.
A little bit of Kobe, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of Kobe.
He got some back-to-back. Moves as well.
Yeah, well, and I think they could win it this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think they could with this whole, like, we'll see. Wesley's hair, you should see. Type in Wesley Matthews. Look at his hair right now, because one of his teammates sent me a picture. It's literally out to here right now. He looks like he should be on semi-pro. Swear to God. It's hilarious. And he's wearing a headband. He used to wear a headband when he played for me. So it's like, oh, my God, it's so funny.
I love Wesley Matthews. I hope he came to Oklahoma City one year, but we kind of dropped the ball.
He's such a good player. Best basketball player of all time.
Oh, I grew up, I mean, contrary, I grew up a Magic Johnson fan.
Okay. Magic doesn't tend to come in. I think Magic's got to be in the discussion a lot because I think Magic and Bird changed the game.
Yeah. And then Michael took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah. The thing is, what people don't remember and the young ones don't remember is like when you were growing up, you were either a Celtics or a Laker fan.
Yeah.
You weren't both. Like I was a Lakers fan, but you were one or the other, and it was each coast. So it was like the East Coast versus the West Coast. Yeah. It was like they took it from like here to here, and then Michael just blew it up. Yeah, yeah.
But Michael. I mean, everybody talked about his game and how athletic he was. I mean, yes, he was by far way more athletic than a lot of people during that era. But he took it more so like shoe games, commercials.
Yeah. He was everywhere. He was pre-social media everywhere.
Yeah. So I equate more that change in the game to his off the court exploits.
Yeah.
Than his on the court exploits. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. One thing that helped you become a better coach.
Listening.
Ooh, I like that. Best game you have seen in person.
Ooh, I'll probably go back, and I'm not a very big OSU fan. Obviously,
yeah.
But it was probably OSU. I was in the stadium, OSU, Texas, 2007, Kevin Durant, triple overtime game, Byron Eaton, big time over the head shot. And I think OSU won that game. I
believe. Have you watched the Steph, the Marbury thing on Coney Island? And
yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
It was really good. And how his life came basically full circle and how when he went to China,
mm-hmm.
He just kind of everything just kind of worked out, yeah. And the reason I asked is because of his relationship with Kevin Durant. Now they were friends, and
Everybody in that Maryland area are linked to one another. Him, Bradley Beal.
I know.
You know, Michael Beasley.
It's such a small world. No. What's your favorite quote?
I would probably say it was one from. Oh man, I sent you one.
You did. I don't have it in front of me. I thought you remembered. That's okay.
I can't think of it off the top of my head.
You look at you have it handy.
I'm looking it up right now.
You look it up, and you look it up, and I'll give you the next one.
You caught me on the spot.
That's all right. So that's usually why I try to prep people, but it's okay. So as you're looking it up, right, you got it. Okay, go ahead. Then I'll save the last one.
It's a John Wooden. Quote, and it goes for on like on the court and off the court. Do your best and be your best. That's something that you can control. Right now in today's climate, I mean, you can only control what you can control. You can control the community around you. You can control how you are as a human being, and you shouldn't allow anybody to really kind of knock you off your perch.
What I have found, and this is me purely observational, is it's been great having all the family time, but people need time away.
Yeah.
I mean, we have had like arguments in the we never have, like we would never have them, and they're silly stuff because we're cooped up. It's like, yeah, people.
And I'm more so too like this. I mean, and I know I was like, even if a lot of schools go, you know, remote learning, there needs to be an aspect of some sports for the kids to get into, because, I mean, I look at all of the, you know, the kids that don't have privilege.
I know. It's like Baltimore. I think Baltimore is doing a very unique, I think it's Baltimore. They're doing virtual, but they're opening the schools for kids that need a place to go.
And I think that it's going to be really interesting, because I know here in Oklahoma we're doing I know at my school specifically, the kids that have underlying health issues, they're going to start off virtually and kind of see kind of how we evolve.
Right.
Now we're kind of a lucky school because we only got about 330 students in our entire school,
right?
So there's ways for us to be able to manage a little bit more,
right?
But I know a lot of public schools, they're trying to figure out, I mean, they haven't quite put out a, like, how they're going to do it.
Right. Hey, so will your, if you have kids, will your kids be able to go to that school? Is that part of the deal?
Yeah. Okay. But I don't have any kids right now.
Okay. So that's a long ways off.
If it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for me signing up for 8 a.m., I'd probably still be asleep right now.
That's okay. Yeah, you signed up for it. It's like,
yeah, I did. My wife.
I didn't assign it. I just put them in there because then it get. To be honest with you, I do a bunch of these early just because it gets me moving in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like getting moving up in the morning.
Oh, I kind of wake up early, but my wife is still asleep, so like we don't have to worry about a kid right now. I'll eventually change here in the next
couple years. Well, that's a good thing. All right. So, any parting words, Coach?
If you're a young coach out there like me, just continue to learn and do your best to impart knowledge into your kids.
Right.
But also be able to make yourself better. As coaches, we always got to be 1% better every day. Because if we're 1% better, our kids are.
My advice is too, and I haven't said this in a long time. My advice is don't be everything to everyone. Yeah. Like what I've told teachers in our building, I said, all I can do is try to look at the people in front of me and try to make them better. I can't worry about, because our school is 2,200. Yeah. They said, I'm going to try to help my 15 guys. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be my part. And if everyone does that, we'll be fine.
Yeah.
you can't mentor everybody. And don't try to be everything to every, don't be Coach Boeheim. Don't be Coach Kruger. I mean, be you.
You can pick whatever you want from people that you emulate, but it's all about how you do that.
Right. It's about building that philosophy. That's why I always ask, what's your coaching philosophy? Because it's about you building it in your head. I agree. All right. Thank you, Coach. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to hear more of these, go over and join teachhoops.com. 14-day free trial allows us to do this. And then subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Tell us what you want to hear in the future, steve@teachhoops.com. All right. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.